Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for listening again this evening. We continue with these Sunday PM recordings during the COVID-19 pandemic. Please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 23 through 27 as we talk about the subject, by what authority? By what authority? The setting, of course, of this chapter is the last week of Jesus' life. We saw earlier in the chapter the triumphal entry. We saw the cursing of the fig tree. And we see in this chapter the cleansing of the temple. It's this last thing, the cleansing of the temple, that brought about the situation and the question that we see that begins at verse 23. It says, "When he was come to the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one question, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you, by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why then did ye not believe him? But if we say, From men, we fear the multitudes, for they hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We know not. And he also said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." And so we see that the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, came and asked Jesus the question, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? Undoubtedly, they were asking the question, who gave you the authority to come into the temple area and overthrow the tables of the money changers? Who gave you the authority to drive away those who were selling doves or animals for use and sacrifice? Give an account for yourself. You have really overstepped this time. Who gave you this authority? Well, let's begin by noticing that the question of authority is a fair question. It's an important question. It's a critical question when we think about our worship and our service and our obedience to God. Just in general, we understand the need for authority in society. We understand the need for traffic laws and for laws for civil society in a number of different ways. We understand the need for taxation, for law and order. We may not like our taxes. We may not like the amount that we have to pay. But we understand if we're going to have streets and we're going to have roads and we're going to have stop signs, we're going to have all these things to be able to go to work and for traffic to flow and a myriad of other things that we need in a civilized society, we're going to need to pay some taxes. If we go to the store and we order a pound of ground beef, we understand there needs to be a standard. It's good that there is a standard of pounds or standard of gallons when we go to the gas station and we're going to get some gas. And we know how much a gallon is, and we know the amount of a gallon, and we know how much our car holds. And so all those things, having standards, we don't even think about these standards. We don't even think about the standard of authority. But it affects, of course, so many areas of our lives. Recently, we have seen the result of lawless attitudes by people who don't want there to be standards or who don't like the standards, who want to tear down the standards. And we've seen this summer terrible riots and unrest and looting and destruction of property and loss of life by those who don't want there to be rules or want us to live by their rules, anarchists of different kinds. But aside from that, we understand, most of us understand, that to have a peaceful society and a society in which people want to live in, we need to have rules, and we need to have standards, and we need to have authority. Another example for the need for authority is just seen in practical things like sports. We enjoy sports, and we watch sports on TV. And we understand if there's going to be a basketball game or a football game or a baseball game, there has to be rules. Rules that the teams agree on, the rules that you play the game by. And so there needs to be rules and there needs to be referees or umpires, and you can't play a game without these things. In baseball, there are rules. If you hit the ball into the air and someone catches it, you're out. But if you swing the bat and you hit the ball onto the field of play and it falls on the field of play safely and you get to first base before they throw you out, then you're on base and you have a base hit. We understand the rules of the game. In football, there are rules. If you catch the ball or you run with the ball and you carry it over the goal line, it is a touchdown. If that football passes that invisible barrier that goes up from the goal line, then it is a touchdown. But if you don't make the ball into the end zone, it's not a touchdown. And so there are rules. In tennis, if you hit the ball inside the court, even if it hits the line, it's still good. Outside the line is not good. And so there are rules. Well, who sets these rules? If there's going to be rules, who's going to set the rules? Well, in things dealing with our government, we have different levels of government that set the rules, don't we? We have federal rules, federal government, and we're glad that there are certain laws and there are certain things that are set by national federal rules and law. Could you imagine how confusing it would be if every state decided how much a gallon was? And you go from one state to the next and you go to fill up your tank and you find out that the amount of gas in a gallon is different than it was when you left Florida. That would be so confusing. Yes, it's good that we have a national standard about that. Or you're driving in your car and you cross the border from Florida to Georgia and you see a sign that says 10 miles to Atlanta. You say, oh good, it's only 10 miles. And you drive and you drive and you drive. After about an hour, you see another sign, 9 miles to Atlanta. It turns out that their miles are 60 miles long, if you consider the miles in Florida. Well, that would be crazy, wouldn't it? If every state set their own distance of how distant, how far a mile was. Well, you say, Wilson, you're being silly. Yes, I am, but I'm just illustrating the importance of having standards. And so, in baseball, Major League Baseball sets the rules for Major League Professional Baseball. They have a rules committee. The National Football League has a rules committee that has been established by the owners to make the rules. And in the off season, sometimes they change rules from time to time to try to make the game better. But the point is, they have the right to make the rules. Well, when it comes to religion, who has the right to set the rules? The religious leaders were asking Jesus, by what authority? By what authority do you do these things, and who gave you this authority? Well, Jesus comes back to them and asks them a question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Well, at first blush, when you read this passage, you may wonder, why in the world did Jesus ask them that? It sounds like he's changing the subject. They ask him by what authority. He cast these money changers out of the temple, and he asked them a question about baptism. Why did he do that? So completely off the subject. Well, of course, it wasn't off the subject, because Jesus was asking them this question about John's baptism because he was trying to get them to see and get them to think, and probably even more than them, others who were listening in the crowd, to see and to think and to understand. When he asked the question and said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? He is really outlining that there's only two sources of authority. There's only two sources of authority, either heaven or men. Either God gives authority or men gives the authority. And so he's asking them the question, what about the baptism of John? Was it from heaven or from men? There's only two sources. Which was it? And of course, he could have asked the same question, or the implication is about his authority. His authority only comes from two sources. Did it come from heaven or from men? Well, of course, it came from heaven. And so we asked them the question, and they didn't want to answer the question. They didn't want to commit, of course, because they said if we said, say, John, then they'll ask, well, why didn't you listen to him? And if they say the baptism of John, if they say from heaven, he'll say, well, why didn't you listen to it? If they say from men, they'll be afraid of the people because the people held him to be as a prophet. And so, as we said, it simply points out, Jesus' question to them points out the two sources of authority, from heaven or from men. Well, let's talk about those two for a moment as we think about religious authority today. From heaven or from men? Well, of course, we understand that authority comes from heaven. When we practice what we practice religiously, when we begin to make decisions about how we're going to worship God or how we're going to serve God or what we're going to do in our lives, we need to make sure that our authority is from heaven, that it is from God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, we read this passage this morning, and we looked at this passage this morning as we were looking about this section in 1 Corinthians 8. But it's a good place to look at it again here, because he's talking about God. And he says, for though there may be so-called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there are gods many and lords many, yet to us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we unto him, and the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we through him. Of course, he was talking about the idols, and he was talking about the fact that there's really only one true God. The true God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, the one who sent his Son into the world. And so, although there are so-called gods, many idols and so-called gods, and yet there is truly just one, the Father. There is just one God. There's just one God of heaven and earth. He is the creator of all of us. And as our creator, as our maker, he has the right, as our Father over us, to set the rules. And he sent his Son Jesus into the world to give himself and to give his life as a ransom for many. And after Jesus had done that, and as he was about to return to the Father in heaven, he said in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And so he says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Christ has all authority. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so Christ has all authority. He was given all authority by the Father. And the Father put all things in subjection under his feet. Paul teaches and talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 that the Father is still over all, but he is subjected in the kingdom and during this period of time, subjected all things unto Christ. Christ has all authority. All things are put under his feet. And so, all authority is in Jesus Christ. But he sent out his apostles into the world, as Brother Brent talked about this morning. Before he ascended back to the Father, he had promised the apostles that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to guide them into all the truth. He would send them out into the world to preach and teach the gospel. And he did that, and he gave them his authority. And he filled them with the Spirit of God. He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to guide them into all truth. And they begin to write down what we now have and what we now understand as the Scriptures, the New Testament, for our teaching and our learning and our instruction. And so Paul would later say in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely to every good work. Well, to most of you who are listening to this, these are principles and teachings that you understand and that we go over from time to time on a fairly regular basis. But the point is just simply, as we think about the rules, who sets the rules? Let us never forget that God sets the rules. Authority is from heaven. The baptism of John, from heaven or from men? Well, it was from heaven. God is the one that sent John. God is the one that instructed John. God is the one who told John what to preach and teach. That baptism, the baptism of John, was from heaven. It wasn't from John. It didn't originate with him. It was from God. In the same way, when we carry out God's instructions today, when we look at the New Testament, and we obey the New Testament, and we ask the question, from heaven or from men? Well, it is from heaven. It is from God. The New Testament is from God. The Bible is our authority today. The Bible is a result of the teachings of the apostles and early prophets, inspired men who wrote it down for us. And so it contains God's rules. It's God's rule book. It's our authority today, just as the National Football League or Major League Baseball has a rules committee, and they write out the rules for baseball or for the NFL. We have a rule book, and it's not subject to men, the whims of men, the changes of men. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it is from God, and it's unchangeable. It's not going to change. The last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ will be our rule book until the end of time, till all things come to a conclusion. Authority is from heaven. Authority is from heaven, not from men. Well, let's talk about the authority of men for a moment before we finish. Man has often turned away. Man turning away from God is not new. Man has turned away from God over and over again. In the Old Testament, we see that Israel turned away from God over and over again and sought to set his own authority. Again, something we studied recently was Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. In that prayer, Daniel says, "We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land." Notice what Daniel says. Daniel says, "We've acted wickedly. We've committed iniquity. We have sinned." He also says, "We have rebelled." What does the word rebelled mean? Well, we know what rebellion is. It is a refusal to obey authority. Daniel says, "We turn aside from your commandments and ordinances. We've not listened to your servants, the prophets." God spoke to Israel, just as God has spoken to us. God spoke to Israel. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through Moses. The instructions for Israel were written down under the Old Covenant in the Law of Moses. He sent the prophets to preach to them, to teach to them, but they turned away. They turned away from God. They did not listen to the prophets, and because of that, God had sent them off. The reason that Daniel is writing this, it's almost to the end of the period of the captivity, and Daniel is writing and speaking and praying to God, confessing the sins of the nation, and begging God to remember his promise to restore them to the land. And so he's expressing a recognition of the sins of the nation. And so man has rebelled against God's authority over and over again. In the New Testament, look at Matthew chapter 15. And in Matthew chapter 15, we see Jesus' condemnation of the Pharisees because of their traditions. They turned away from God and did not listen to God's instructions. In Matthew 15, the first 9 verses, there came unto Jesus from Jerusalem Pharisees and scribes, saying, Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said unto them, Why do ye transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that speaketh evil of father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, That wherewith thou mightest have been profited by me is given to God, he shall not honor his father. And ye have made void the word of God because of your traditions. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. Jesus was approached here by the Pharisees and scribes, who said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Jesus again asked them a question, just as he had in the other case we looked at, and says, Why do you transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition? In fact, Jesus' disciples had transgressed the tradition of the elders, but the tradition of the elders was not the law of God. And so Jesus is pointing out to them, you're holding up your traditions above God's law. He says, Why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. God's law said, Honor your father and mother. But you have said, Whoever shall say to his father and mother, That wherewith thou mightest have been profited is given to God. In other words, you are supposed to take care of your father and mother, but you're telling your father and mother that, well, that money I was going to use to help you out, I've given it to God instead. And you've allowed people to do that. You've allowed people to neglect their family so that they can give it to the temple, which ends up in your pockets. He says in verse 6, Ye have made void the word of God because of your tradition. You set aside the word of God. God's word said, do this, honor your father and mother. But you've said it's okay not to do that if you want to under these conditions. And Jesus calls them hypocrites. It's just another example of how people over and over, through the years of the history, Israel set their own rules. They set aside God's law to keep their own commandments. Paul warned about this for us in Colossians 2 and verse 8. Paul says in Colossians 2:8, See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and vain deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Paul warns, don't let men make captive of you. Don't let men pull you away by their philosophies and traditions. But that's exactly what the world has done. Look at the religious world around us and see what they have done. From the Roman Catholic Church with their councils and with their rulings and their traditions, to Protestant churches with their councils and their rulings and their traditions. Recently I read about a special session of the General Conference of the United Methodist Church voting whether or not to allow or to ban LGBTQ from the clergy, or whether to allow the church to do same-sex weddings. What's that all about? Well, we could talk about the issue itself of homosexuality and same-sex weddings and all of that. But more than that, it's just the basic idea of delegates. They had delegates from all over the world coming to this general conference and voting about what the church was going to do or not going to do. By what authority? By what authority do you do these things? We could ask them. By what authority do you do these things, and who gave you this authority? Who gave you the right to call people from all over the world and come together under one roof and to vote and to make a decision about what the church is going to do? God never gave that authority to men. And so, by what authority do you do these things, and who gave you this authority? The baptism of John, Jesus asked, was it from heaven or men? There's only two sources of authority. Either heaven or men. Well, that's the lesson for this evening. Our authority must be in heaven. As we live before Him, as we seek to do His will from day to day and week to week and year to year, let us constantly go back to Scripture, study Scripture, read Scripture, analyze Scripture, examine Scripture. It is by His teachings, it's by His Word that we are to receive the guidance for our work and our worship and our functioning together as a body of His people. Authority is from God. Authority is in Christ Jesus. He's the one that sets the rules. He decides the rule book. He has decided the rule book. He's given us the rule book. It's just up to us to study and get to know it better and always to obey it and reverence it and love it and honor it and put it into practice into our lives. Once again, thank you for listening this evening. God willing, we'll see you again next Sunday. Everyone have a great week. Bye-bye.